Good to see you. It looks like you folks enjoy worship. Is that acceptable? You better believe it is. You better believe it is. Have you ever met a self-appointed Holy Spirit? Does a self-appointed Holy Spirit know their self-appointed Holy Spirit? No. Are they sincere? Yes. Can they be a little obnoxious? I'm not sure about that one, are you? In Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door," what? "And knock." It does not say, "Behold, I stand at the door with a bulldozer." God is not a pushy God. But you got to go from Genesis to Revelation to figure that out a little bit. Please, keep the Old Testament. But Jesus said this, "If you've seen me," what? "You've seen the Father." So when I come across some of the things in the Old Testament, the blood and guts of the Old Testament, and it's almost like God gets blamed for some of these things. In case you didn't know, you know that in the Jewish mindset, God was the cause of everything. See? That's why when we look at one little verse where it says, remember Pharaoh? And it says several different things in Exodus. Here's what it says. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And when I was going over that in the Sabbath school class in a church not too far from here, the lady said, "Pastor, I just believe what the Bible says." I said, "Well, so do I." But it just said three different things about how Pharaoh's heart was hardened. What? I said, when I come to some stumbling blocks in the good Old Testament, I run to Jesus. Jesus said this. You know it all well. You know all very well. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. I don't need to pray to the Father. He loves you himself. I'm afraid when I grew up, I didn't get that message. By the way, I'm a third generation Adventist. I grew up in Revue and Herald diapers. My dad worked for the General Conference. You know, I've been there. I've been there. And I learned at a very young age that you keep your eyes off of people. The song does not go like this. Turn your eyes upon each other. Look full in your occasional good. Don't do that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I was in seventh grade. I was pumping Adventist gas behind the General Conference Review and Herald. It was 16 cents a gallon. Everybody saw it. Oh. And one of the brethren came up. And then back in those days, they actually had people that serviced your gas tank, right? Well, that's what I was. I was putting the hose in the gas tank and probably cleaning his windshield. I don't remember in seventh grade. It's a long time ago. And then you know how the gas used to burp a little bit and spill out on the finish of the car? Anyone know what I'm talking about? So I quickly took some paper towel, bad decision, and started wiping off the gas off his car. He got out of his car. "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, the gas burped." "Well, you don't do that." Sorry. Happy Thursday, you know. He drove away. I got home to 2209 Lackawanna Street, Riggs Road, right behind the George Washington Cemetery in Adelphi, Maryland. And I sat down at that round sofa. You know what I'm talking about? The round sofa with the white hassock in the middle. Picked up a little church paper called The Review. You've heard of it. Review and Herald. I was leafing through it. Saw a picture of this guy. Different expression on his face. The title of his article was, "How to Really Love Others." I couldn't wait till my dad got home. "Dad, gas, burp, huh, love others, huh?" And here's what my dad said. The same thing that your dad said to you probably a couple times. He didn't call you LeClaire. That's why I go by Litch. LeClaire, LeClaire. Maybe one of his articles didn't get published. Maybe he had a teenage kid giving him a hard time. Here comes the cliche. You could finish it. We always have to give people the benefit of the doubt. Oh, Dad. Always defending the brethren. Always defending the brethren. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians. Who wrote Philippians? Paul. When in doubt, guess Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. In fact, if we were to give the gold medal, he would get it with, what is it, 13? Is that right, Cliff? 13? It depends who counts Hebrews, whether Paul wrote it or not. Some discuss that. Who would get the silver? John, because he wrote Big John, Three Little Johns, and Revelation. And who'd be tied for the bronze? Oh, I didn't count Old Testament. Peter, because he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and Luke, because he wrote Acts and Luke. Do you need to know that trivia to get to heaven? No. Is it important to know where your Bible books are? Yeah. Help us, Jesus. I hang out at the academy now, and I do Bible studies with teenagers, the ones who want them. And they need to learn the books of the Bible. I don't tell them that. Philippians is the book. The main theme of the book is what? Do you know? Joy. Joy. Not happiness. There's a big difference. I'll try not to take the whole service giving you definitions and another story. Again, I'm talking to teenagers now. Forgive me. Okay. You're going to Disney World. You're happy. The lines are long at Space Mountain. You're unhappy. There's a cute girl looking at you, guys. You're happy. She's got a 7-foot boyfriend looking at you. You're unhappy. When they were lowering my mom into the grave, I was unhappy, but I still had joy. Because the world can't give you joy, and the world what? Can't take it away. How do I know that's biblically correct? Because remember this verse? Help me finish it. Jesus, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. What in the world does that mean? Did Jesus hum a song? I'm happy today. Golgotha. No! He was not happy. In fact, He asked His three disciples, Peter, James, and John, would you please come here and sit with me and pray? But He wasn't sitting. He was prostrate on the ground. It's not like that picture in your grandmother's living room, good grandmother, but the picture is theologically incorrect. Remember Jesus with His hands like this at the rock with every hair in place and a little halo behind His head? Nice picture, but theologically incorrect. He was pressing down on the earth. He was needing some hope and fellowship. And what were the three disciples doing? Sleeping. I'm glad we're not like that, aren't you? Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Was Jesus upset with them? No. In my imagination, God did this up in heaven. Angels, the disciples are flunking the course a little bit. I need a volunteer. And all the angels, send me, send me. God sent Gabriel. No angel said, why does He always send Gabriel? You know why? Because jealousy had moved out of heaven. Oh, by the way, another fellow I like who's no longer with us, his name was Dan Jackson. He was the president of North America Division. You know why I like him so much? Because when he stood up to speak, I don't know if he did this every time, but here's what he said. Hi, my name is Dan Jackson. I'm a broken man. I'm so glad to hear a preacher say that, or a leader say that. Because so many other times in my critical mind, I say, well, I just got back from Australia and I can't, and in 2 days I'm going over. Don't tell me your agenda. Don't tell me how important you are. Tell me that you're a sinner, a broken man. So I usually use that line. In fact, I'll probably go into even more details with you because you don't know me that well. I'm proud. I'm jealous. I'm selfish. I'm easily hurt, but I cover it with humor. But I love Jesus.
So whatever you do, don't look at any preacher. There's none righteous, what? No, not one. Do you know there's actually people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church who think they're better than other Christians? Do you know there's actually people in this church, not this church, because you're all perfect. There are also people who think that only people who've kept the Sabbath will go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, go you into all the world and judge the world. It says, go you into all the world and love the world. Whenever I start talking and preaching, there's always someone at the back who comes up to me and says, Pastor, we got to go deeper than the love of God. And you forgot the three angels. Excuse me just a minute. The first angel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Paul's going to tell us now. I love Paul. He's so articulate. He's so honest. At one point he can say, I'm chief of sinners. Another place he says, follow my example. Another place he says, can you identify with this? That which I want to do, what? I don't do. That which I don't do, what? I keep doing. And then he says this, church members, who can deliver me from this body of death? I love Paul because he's so real. Another place he says this in Philippians. By the way, if you don't know where to start and you're in a renewal spot during the Thanksgiving Christmas season, here's my prescription to you. Take the book of Philippians and read it every day for 30 days. When you come to something you don't understand, skip it. Is that biblical? Just skip it. And then, nobody taught me this when I was growing up, and then as you read, I'm going to show you how to do it right now. As you read, pray read. Pray to God about what you just read. It'll revolutionize your Bible reading. It'll revolutionize your prayer life. Yes, we should pray for each other. That's called intercessory prayer. Yes, by all means. Pray with, be with, be with, be with. But after you get done with all that, talk to God about what He just said to you. Another place, when we won't get to it today. Chapter 3 is the conclusion. It's the key chapter of Philippians. And it says this, I want to know Christ. You know, there's actually some people somewhere around the world in Seventh-day Adventist Church, when if you talk about Jesus too much, they're a little suspect to wonder if you're really an Adventist. Absurd. Absurd. But he says this, I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection. I'd like to skip the next part, but it's there. And the fellowship of sharing in His suffering. You've lost a loved one, you're sharing in His suffering. Somebody misjudges you, you're sharing in their sufferings. Someone argues with you, you're sharing their sufferings. Someone's not treating you right on the interstate, get over it. I'm talking to myself. Paul says in that verse something ridiculous. Forgetting what is behind. Remember we said that? Forgetting what is behind, I press on toward what? What is ahead? I think Paul suffered from guilt. Have you noticed that every time you start getting closer to Christ, you're on a devotional roll and you're going good, the devil starts reminding you of your past. When the devil does that, if Carmen were here, he was a Christian singer years ago, he says, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. I think what Paul was saying is, don't focus on the stuff. Because there are things I want to forget, I can't forget. There are things I forget, you know what I'm saying? But Paul says, I think what he says, don't focus on it. And there are some Christians who don't like Paul. They think he's too this and too that. Well, he feeds my soul. And Romans is good too. Most of his books he wrote where? When he's in prison. Have I given enough time to find Philippians? Okay. Here we go. Now let me find it. Who wrote Ephesians? Who wrote Galatians?
Who wrote Corinthians? Paul, right? Now, how, you know how I keep remembering how I remember those skinny four ones? Georgia Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Or, maybe you think it's sacrilegious, God eats popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians. Philippians. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. I got a brilliant, all my grandchildren are brilliant, so are yours, but I have one that's, of course, the most brilliant of all. She's sitting at the breakfast table with Shelley, my wife. He's 5 years old. He says, Lovey, that's what she's called, Lovey, does God want to control us? And Shelley, being the brilliant teacher she is, she said, what do you think? He says, well, he's kind of the boss. And she said, ah, but in John 15:15, he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And then he said, pass the peanut butter, please. I call you friends. I'm afraid, again, I don't blame my parents. I don't blame the preachers in my life. I don't blame anybody. I just had in my mind a picture that was incorrect. God the Father sits in the big chair, right? God the Son sits in the smaller chair. The Holy Spirit sits in a folding chair. I'm just telling you how my little mind worked, okay? And that is incorrect. In fact, as soon as God, and I'm not sure God, well, we could talk about this all day. The minute the three gods who are all equal and all one, and don't ask me to explain that. If anyone says they can, you listen politely, and then you say, wait till I get to heaven. I had not seen nor ear heard. So don't let any preacher convey to you they understand the Trinity, or don't let some critical Adventist say, I don't believe in the Trinity. God bless them. Very clear that the Holy Spirit was a person. You can't lie to a table. Peter said you lied to the Holy Spirit. That's another topic. All three are equal. All three love us. They all three have what's it called? They know what's going to happen before it happens. Foreknowledge. They knew when they created Lucifer that he was going to mess up. Well, why didn't they just skip Lucifer? Because God is love. And at the risk of sounding sacrilegious, I believe when God and God created the angels and created Lucifer, they said to each other words of comfort, which was this. Look, we know what's going to happen. But it's only for a weekend. Does anyone understand what I'm saying? God has no beginning, no end. In our little earth, we can argue about how old it is, but our little earth is so many years old. But to God, it's just a weekend. And dare I say, God can't help himself. He's love. He wanted to create, but he refused to do an assembly line creation. He said, hey, let's make man in our image. Wow. Does that mean the other worlds that exist, and we believe there are other worlds? Be careful how you share that because people might get confused. But there was something about this little earthlings that was different. Now we're going to fall into the trap that says that was better. Stop it. It was different. And God is love. I mean, why didn't he forget putting the tree there? Because he wants them to choose him out of love. Love. Not a Christian song, but it's very appropriate. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing. There's just too little love. And you can't crank it up. How do I know that? I haven't gotten to Philippians. I've got to tell you to go to Romans. Don't go to it because I'll tell you the verse. Romans 5:5 should be right up there with John 3:16. Here's what Romans 5:5 says. God pours his love. This is God's heart, see? God pours his love from his heart to my heart, to your heart, by the Holy Spirit. What a verse! Because we cannot crank love up, but God pours it through His Holy Spirit to us. The atheist who goes home and says to his wife, "Honey, I love you," is experiencing the love of God for his wife. And I think I heard someone pray an opening prayer this morning, which I loved. Because here's what I thought he said. "And be with all your people everywhere." Who does God love the most? Don't fall for that trap. Yeah. Who does God love the most? Oh, love that will not let me go. I used to think at the second coming, we'll get to Philippians. I used to think at the second coming, Jesus would be smiling. Who does He love? Everyone. The people that are cursing His name and flipping Him off and calling for the rocks and mountains is breaking His heart. Explain to me the emotion of God. Oh, love that will not let us go. So, Romans 5 says He pours in His love, but here's what I suggest to you folks. You can discuss it later and tell someone else I'm wrong. That's okay. I won't argue with you. I have sometimes, and that's because I hadn't had good devotions. He doesn't just pour in love. He pours in joy, back on Philippians. He pours in forgiveness. He pours in grace. He pours in, with the song that you played, calm assurance. He pours in forgiveness. He pours in everything we need. God provides. Yeah, but God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. That was Benjamin Franklin. Not in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who can't help themselves. In other words, the goodness of God draws everyone. Everyone. And by the way, America, God is not American. That's as far as I'll go with that. God is multinational. God is not pro-women and not pro-men and not... Stop it. It's all equal and level at the cross. And dear old folks, don't think you've got a corner on Jesus, and don't you young people think you old folks are out of touch. You make a pretty good blend here. We need each other. Nowhere does it say go into all the world or the church and judge the world and judge the church. Deliver us from being little Supreme Court justices. They'll know we're Christians by "Oh, love, all you're preaching about is love." Well, yeah, I probably will. But when I say love, I mean Jesus. And so back to the Trinity. It wasn't the big chair. They all three huddled together. My simple mind, and I don't know what they were called before the creation, before the world, but Jesus, God, we gave him that name down here. Said, "Look, He didn't say if something goes wrong. When it goes wrong, I'll go down. I'll do the Bethlehem thing." And the other two say, "Good." And then you'll stay with me and you'll guide me. But Jesus, when He came down, He didn't know as He was in a diaper that, "Oh, I'm God." He didn't know that. He didn't know. He grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God. He didn't know. That's why when He said, "I don't know when I'm going to come again." At that time, He didn't know. And then in my simple mind, forgive me, Holy Spirit says, "Okay, when you come back up," steps to Christ says, "with your glorified, resurrected body, I'll come down." Jesus did have that figured out because He said, "It's best for you that I go. Because when the Spirit comes, He can be with you in Capernaum, in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem. He can be with you everywhere. I can't right now." He knew exactly what He was talking about. And then, "We don't want you to go." Just listen. I wonder why God gave us two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, and one mouth. Just listen. And so Jesus goes up, remember? He goes up. This is in Acts. He goes,
And then who shows up? Hey, you guys, why are you looking up there? Don't you know what comes up? What goes up? Just as he's going to go up, he's going to come back. And then finally, you won't like this term, those 11 losers actually did what Jesus said. They went into the upper room, like you've done today. They sang some songs. They had some prayer. Took up some offerings. But they sat, sounds like Quakers, be still. Good verse, isn't it? Be still and know that I'm God. What would be the opposite of that busy Adventist? Be busy and forget. You don't have to be robbing banks, just be busy. Shelley and I lived together for 49 years. Strong woman, spiritual giant. When I'm in my office in the morning, she'll say, you ready to have devotions now? Quite frankly, I'm not. But am I going to tell Shelley that? I mean, I'm busy fixing my paper clips. She says, you don't have devotions now? Okay. I don't know what she thinks when I call her to it, but we take turns. Oh, so you think you're saved by devotions, huh? Let you go. No, but breathing is important. Okay. Now let's start before we finish. Servants of Christ, but now we're also what? We're friends of Christ. Now look at the next verse. To all God's holy people. Anyone have a different word for that in your Bible? Huh? Saints. Oh dear. Oh dear. Holy people or saints? Are you holy people and saints? There's a pregnant pause here. Paul's favorite expression is two words, in Christ. He says it, I think it's 159 times. Somebody smart counted it. And here's what in Christ means. Watch my hand. When I put my hand in my Bible, wherever the Bible goes, my hand goes, because the hand is in Bible. To be in Christ means wherever you go, you're in a relationship with Him. And if you're in a relationship with Him, you're covered by His robe of righteousness and He considers you saints. What? I miss it. We're coming to the last one. We're four things. We're servants. We're friends. We're saints. But you're also sinners. You can't be a saint and a sinner at the time. Right? Oh, really? What did Moses do right before he died? Messed up. Died, and God took him to heaven. Really ticked Satan off. What did Peter do with Jesus in the courtyard? Cussed his head off because he was a good fisherman cusser. And then he went to Gethsemane, right where Jesus was, and the man was born again. He was with Jesus for 3 years, but he finally got it. That's why I call them losers. No offense, so are you and so am I. But we're in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground or behavior is sinking sand. So I ask teenagers, are you saints? And you're just like, oh, I'm not a saint! I'm sorry, you're arguing with God. Because God says, if you're in a relationship with me, you're a saint. Now don't go out of here and say, I'm a saint. Now you've got a problem with pride. The song that he played was Calm Assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus might be mine. Oh, maybe what a possibility of glory divine. Occasional submission. Nothing's for sure. Is that what it says? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. You know what the word glory means? 9 times out of 10, it means His character. Oh, remember Jesus said in His prayer, Lord, let Your glory shine through me. When you go about your Monday through Friday stuff, wherever you go, you're either letting God's glory shine through you or something else is going on. But I'm preaching to the choir because you're here every Sabbath to worship God in spirit and in truth and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Okay, quickly.
to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with overseers and deacons. Here's Paul's favorite two words, verse 2. Grace and peace to you. Remember what Romans 5:5 says? He pours the peace in. With Jesus in the vessel, you still have smiling at the storm because he pours in the comfort. Verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. A girl got up in front of Collegedale University Church one day, and here's how she started her prayer. See how you greet this prayer. Everyone was in church. She came up to the microphone and she said, "Good morning, buddy." I don't think she was invited back to have an opening prayer. Is God our buddy? Yeah, but I'm not going to pray that way with you. Neither am I going to go most mighty. I'm going to say, "Jesus, you're such a good God." Prayer is the opening part to God as a friend. Great, great, great chapter in prayer and steps of Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. How do you pray with joy? I think I heard some praying like that this morning. I think I heard some joy. Is it okay to snicker in a prayer? I do sometimes. You might not be comfortable with that, so don't snicker. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. He wrote these things when he was in a prison. Dear Lord, there goes another roach. There goes another rat. Rejoice in the Lord always. But I don't feel like rejoice. Who cares how you feel? Rejoice. That's what he says. That's his theme. I'm coming to the first promise, then we're going to stop. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel. Oh, we got to do this. If I ask most of you today what the gospel is, 9 out of 10 of you will say, it's the good news, which is nice, but tells me nothing. So now I'm going to educate you on what the gospel is. You just take a second. And I'm a little slow, so it might could take a second. No. The birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and then we skip as Adventists to the second coming of Christ, leaving out a small detail. Now I got to start over again. The birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit of Christ. That's where we are right now, Book of Acts. That's where we are. And I want to be Holy Spirit possessed. There's nothing wrong with the word possessed. It's who you're possessed by. The person who is possessed of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, will be loving, warm, not critical. You know, I've actually heard churches argue about what color carpet they should put in the church, and it becomes a battlefield. I don't know about this church. I'm just breezing. One more time, repetition for effect. The birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit of Christ, the second coming, get us out of here, Christ. That's the gospel. When I meet a Muslim guy, I don't go over the gospel with him. The first thing I say is, tell me about your religion. Before you preach anything, Adventist, you better learn to listen. The gospel of listening. People don't give a rip what you believe until they first realize you give a rip about them. Ministry of Healing says, Christ mingled with them as one who desired their good. And when he won their confidence, what did he say? Follow me. But I'm preaching to the choir because this seems like a safe place. You seem very warm and friendly. I saw smiling. I saw laughter. I think you're on to something here. Don't get uppity, but I think you're on to something. I'm trying to finish. The first promise. Here it comes. In all my prayer, verse 4, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, here it comes. I call it the he promise. Put that in your Bible unless you don't write in your Bible. He. Here it is. He who began a good work in you, who is that? Christ. Will continue the work in you. Who's that? Christ, Holy Spirit. until he comes to get you. He. That's genuine joy. Not happiness, but joy. Close with a story. There's a book called Blue Like Jazz. It has nothing to do with jazz and nothing to do with the word blue. But this guy goes to a Christian concert. And the singer becomes a preacher. Well, maybe preacher shouldn't sing and singer shouldn't preach. But in this case, he told this story. And it just blew my mind as I read this. He said he had a buddy that was a Navy SEAL. And there were some Americans who were held hostage in some place. They did not go into detail. They were being held hostage. And so they did what you've seen on TV when they're trying to plat something out. They plat out the scene, what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, when they're going to do it. And they got it all ready. And they're on an aircraft carrier. And these Navy SEALs got on a helicopter. And they went to the location where these hostages were. And the helicopter landed perfectly. They went into the place where the guys were. There they were. They had the location all figured out. And the Navy SEALs, they got their helmets, they got their guns, they got their night goggles, they got everything. And they come rushing in. They see the Americans and they say, "Hey, we're Americans. We're here to help you. Come on, let's go." And they start going. And not one of the hostages moves. They're sitting on the floor, looking down at their squalor. They're mentally drained. They're tired. They're worn out. Scared. In all the planning, nobody thought of the fact that they might not want to go home. But one Navy SEAL, probably God's impression, look what he did. He took off his helmet. Now catch the spiritual analogy, please. He took off his helmet. He laid down his gun. Took off his night vision goggles. And then went over and took the posture of the hostages. Sat down next to him so his elbow and shoulder was touching this one guy. And he just sat straight ahead. Then he looked over and said, "We're here from America. We're here to take you home. Will you come with us?" And he turned back and just sat. And this hostage then did this. Catch the analogy. He took his eyes off the stuff around him. And he turned to the Navy SEAL and goes like this, "Look. And the first one got up. And the second one got up. And they followed him out to the helicopter, to the aircraft carrier. And some of you are old enough to remember seeing a family sitting at the tarmac while their family comes down the steps. You get what I'm saying? Who's more excited about the second coming, us or Jesus? Who can bear the pain? Jesus. We can't. But in Jesus we can. Whatever you do, keep coming here. Keep doing what I've seen you do. Pray. Concern. Pass the mic. Sing a song. Give the kids something to do. Excellent. A plus. Keep doing it. Don't worship worship. And don't think that you go on the right day, you're some better than someone else. The cross is level. Good to see you.